Well, hey there, everybody. This is your dynamic duo coming to you from the Energetics of Emotional Eating podcast. I'm Emily.
This is Jen.
And well, we've got some new for you this week. I mean, obviously we're here. Oh my goodness. But Jen, can you tell us what we're talking about?
Today we're talking about how to overcome insecurity and kind of how that affects our emotional eating tendencies and some ways to work on this.
Yeah, because I mean, insecurity, you know, we all got them and they can lead to, you know, development of coping mechanisms that aren't always healthy. So, you know, just working through all those things. But Jen, can you tell us a little bit more?
Well, first I want to just say that if you deal with this, the insecurity thing, I think the most important thing maybe is to recognize that it does not have to stay this way. And so understanding that our brains are neuroplastic. Is that, did I say that the way I mean to? Yeah, neuroplasticity is like enough work and research has been done on the human brain to recognize that we're not actually stuck with the way that we have been or the way that we have thought. We can change through practice. So probably the first thing that I wanted to share with you is that if you have been dealing with insecurity, even though it feels like, well, I've been this way my whole life or for years, it does not have to stay that way. So it's like we wanted to create an awareness that changes with this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've got is I just wanted to kind of make the connection between these insecurities and then like how they affect our relationship with food so that we understand why it matters. Like, how does this lead to emotional eating basically? Or like how does it relate? So I just came back from my notes, my note taking with these, these couple of things, just kind of how the things are related, why it's important for us to work on this. So insecurities can, as Emily mentioned, lead to using food as a way to cope or using food for comfort and distraction. And these things are subconscious. So it's not like you think like, oh, I feel so insecure and then I go and eat food. But your subconscious will tell you basically that the little voice in our head, like itty bitty little committee, that we need a snack sometimes if we are feeling off. So it contributes, insecurities can contribute to binge eating. And also on the other side of the spectrum, is that what I'm going for? But restriction and then overcompensation for things like, well, you can probably make sense of that. But like if we feel really insecure, sometimes we restrict our food to feel better about ourselves. But it's not like a lasting solution, mm-hmm. right? So then our self-esteem and body image issues can be a result of insecurities and unhealthy food choices. We kind of covered that. And then like feelings of guilt and shame, which we've talked about on the podcast before, I think, but guilt and shame are just really not good motivators because those feelings, those emotions are really low vibe and they just produce more of the same. So in our brain, the feelings of guilt and shame, they actually lead to us doing more of the same behavior, even though that sounds counterintuitive, because guilt and shame, they light up the reward center in our brain, which makes us want to do more of the same behavior or creates like a vicious cycle, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Probably didn't get the science exactly on that, but you know, it's just a thing. That's why we actually do more of the behavior we don't like.
Right. And yeah, so, that kind of reminds me, as I was reading, I saw an article, I think it was on a Tony Robbins website about insecurity, that he called insecurity an emotion. And I think, I mean, you might be listening and saying, well, duh, but I never realized that. I just didn't think about it. I was just like, eh, that's its own category, you know? But I mean,
it kind of seems more like a thing than an emotion.
It does. And like Jen's talked about it before, them, you know, our thoughts become our, how do you say it? Our thoughts become our feelings.
Oh, thoughts lead to how, like thoughts lead to how we like prompt our feelings, and mm-hmm. our feelings are what drives our action.
Yeah. So like with that, because it's an emotion, the more we think about it, the more we're going to give power to it. And the more it's going to become our reality, that's going to kind of permeate every area of life. So the sooner we can stop it at its tracks, then the better. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you have something else good on there.
Well, so now that we've kind of covered why it matters and all of that, what I wanted to look at is three ways to work on this, because if it is possible to change it, let's cover a couple of steps that you can take in order to improve this. Now, I want to start this out by saying it is a practice. So this is not like you're going to do this one time and then you're going to just not be insecure anymore. No. Everything as humans, everything that we do works in it. We work in patterns, so we can teach ourselves to be different by repeating the new behavior enough times that it then becomes our new norm. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think of all of it, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, as patterns or as habits that we have, and therefore if we do them enough times, these new things, these new steps, these new thoughts or new feelings or new actions, then those will become our new pattern or our new habit or way of being, right? Mm-hmm. So the point being to be patient with yourself and recognize that you're going to want to practice what I'm about to say. So with that being said, the first step is to practice compassion. So let's talk about that a little bit. The way that I think of compassion is like, be nice to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything to say about that? Like, what's a practical, is there like a practical way that you do this?
I mean,
what's one way that you're nice to yourself? Putting you on this spot.
Ooh, that's a good question.
What did you do after work last night?
You
were like, it was a good experience.
Oh yeah, after work last night, I kind of had to kill time because I work in a different town because I had something else going on. But it was a really nice night, and so I went for a run. Not because I had to, but because I wanted to, and I was excited about it all day because I knew the weather was going to be nice, and I knew I need to get my endorphins up. So.
It's like one way to be nice to yourself is to exercise, but that doesn't mean that every time you exercise, you're being nice to yourself, right?
Right. But I think it's the practice of being thankful that your body can do certain things. And like, I hadn't ran in a couple weeks, and so I didn't do as well as I wanted to, but I said, who cares? I'm doing it. This is fun. And I was able to like have more compassion for myself in that way.
I like it.
Because I was just doing it.
Well, and you were doing it because you knew you'd feel better after,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So then the second thing that I've got is to build your self-esteem. Like, so talking about that, one note I had is to set achievable goals. So maybe one little thing that you know that you can do, and because you set an intention to do the thing that you know that you're able to do, and then go do it, and then recognize you did it, that process builds self-esteem. Like, it builds your confidence level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have anything on that? Or like, what is there anything like, I'm just thinking so that we can give them an example of like, what's one thing that you've done recently or they could do that's like a small achievable thing that gives them just like food for thought?
Oh, I mean, it depends on what everybody's like goals are. So yeah. Like for me this week, I've been slacking on my water.
Was literally thinking water.
Yeah.
And I think anyone can do that.
And it's just like setting a little goal for yourself. I'm going to have this water bottle drink by, you know, 10 a.m. or by noon or by, and just like having that goal in your mind. So that way you've already been like, I'm going to do it. And so there's no really question about it. You just are going to do it. And you're going to just know, even if your morning gets busy, but in the back of your mind, you're like, I need to drink that.
And it's the process of showing up and doing it.
Exactly.
Builds the self-esteem. Yeah. Yep. And by the way, even though water is like, I think as it sounds simple, so it might be easy to not recognize why that matters. I just want to say it really quick. I was looking at it again, reminding myself the other day about why water matters. And it's like, it literally detoxes your body. Like, so you are helping your body to like get rid of all the things that are weighing you down and making you feel gross and like causing your body to not work properly by drinking water. And it also helps with our emotions. Mm. So water in all ways, like as in being by water, this is a side note, but being by water, washing with water, and drinking water, all of those things actually help our body better process our emotions, which is gonna help you overall to have less insecurities. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the third step is to seek support. Now, when I say seek support, I just want to clarify that yes, professional support can be very helpful and useful. And so if that's what you need, go for it. But it's not necessarily professional support that I'm actually talking about when I say that. It could be that you are working on, in this way, finding and spending time with people who feel supportive to you. So that's going to help you with insecurities, to spend time with people that actually help you feel confident and happy and all the things you want to feel. So just notice how the places, people, and things that you are around, how those things affect you, so that you can intentionally spend time with people who help you overcome insecurity.
Yeah, I think another
practice.
Another side of that is just like being around those life-giving people. It will incite you to be more open about your insecurity too, which is very helpful in talking about it, because if we talk more about it out loud, it loses its power.
Yay!
Boom, baby! Bye-bye, insecurity.
So, hopefully this was really helpful for y'all. I gotta go send Emily off to her real job. Just kidding. But I think that it can be super helpful if you apply the things we've discussed. So I hope that you found some benefit, and I want to thank you all for listening.
Yes, ma'am. And what should they do after this?
Oh, and if you found this helpful and want to have a conversation about just kind of more specifically what would help you and all of the things, a free coaching call is available to you if you click the link in the show notes.
Boom. Click that link.
Have a great day.
We will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.